Hello and welcome to this, the second episode of Brashcast. I'm Liam the Pritchmeister General and I'm here with Ross the Flexmeister Frame.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I thought so. You know, each week we have a different name.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, Liam Pritchard just sounds a bit boring, but yeah, I haven't seen you since the last time we did a podcast.
Yeah.
What's it been, like 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah. Been up to anything? Playing any games? You know, this is what we're here for.
Yeah, well, I've actually been lucky enough to get a week off work, so...
It's always nice.
Yeah, well, people who know about the Edinburgh Festival know how hectic it can be, and...
Oh, yeah.
Taking on two jobs during that period left me pretty knackered, so it was good to get a chance to... chill out and play some video games.
Yeah.
It's been a good week for it, actually.
What, did you play anything, finish anything?
Well, I played and finished Sleeping Dogs.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Really,
set in Hong Kong.
Really like Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, how much are Activision kicking their asses now about that? Who got fired at Activision for letting that slip through their fingers? Because it looks like it's a big seller, doesn't it?
I mean, it's not a Square... You would not think it was Square Enix.
Well, Square Enix, I mean, they can't keep their own house in order, but in terms of, like, the third parties, they seem to be getting their shit together there.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard about Lightning Returns?
Oh, Lightning Returns, yeah, they're doing X3 or whatever it is.
13-3 with... What's it like? I haven't played, well, you've played 13.
Oh, I love 13, but I'm one of the few people actually love 13.
Well, it's what we spoke about last time.
Yeah. We won't go into that again.
It was more just, it does not seem like a, from what I've heard, she is not an obvious character to go with for building a game around her.
Well, the thing is, she looks cool and stuff, but I guess you can say the same about Cloud. They both got that kind of stoic thing going on.
They're okay.
Very, you know, they... very serious characters, I suppose. But the important thing is they look cool. I think that's all that really, you know, matters. I mean, you can see it. Whatever people say on Final Fantasy 13, you can see in the amount of lightning cosplay.
Yeah,
just how popular she is. I mean, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, I guess the pink hair and cosplay seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah, she looks pretty cool and stuff. But yeah, just to clear this up, I mean. Obviously, we haven't actually even put up the first episode yet.
No.
I mean, due to issues with the website, chances are you'll be getting episode 1 and 2 at the same time. But, I mean, that's pretty much like a, you know,
that's
an American TV show.
Yeah. It makes you feel... feature-length pilot.
Yeah. It makes it feel more important. You're getting episode 1 and episode 2 together. So, you know, hopefully I'll get people hooked. But, yeah, as I said, I mean, as you know, I've been to Korea in the past 2 weeks, so I'd love to say I've got some gaming news on that, but literally, I did not see one gaming store when I was out there.
Well, that's because they only play StarCraft,
yeah,
right?
I was expecting at least kind of internet cafes for that. I thought there would be kind of, you know, groups of kids all huddled around StarCraft, but I didn't see a single thing.
To be honest, I remember hearing, is it Dungeon? It's one. It looks like a crappy side school in... beat 'em up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It looks like Golden Axe.
Yeah.
But I think they have record numbers of players on at the same time in Korea.
In Korea
for this game, and it looks like it could run in your flash.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of this. The thing is, I mean, all I can say about Korea, whatever they play, they seem to get very obsessive about. As with StarCraft, that's an episode unto itself, I think.
Yeah.
But the only thing I did see was we're in a big department store. We went up to the top floor. And outside, I think they literally just have a whole floor for gaming tournaments.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't running at the time, but I kind of poked my head in, and it looked like the stuff you see on the internet with, like, the stage and, like, the people for, you know, the commentators and stuff.
In a mall, and like, in a department store.
Yeah, massive department store. But outside, there was, like, 200 kids queuing up, but bizarrely all sitting on the floor. It was all very civilized.
Yeah.
So you had all these kids outside sitting on the floor, obviously waiting to get in. I mean, I would have loved to have hung around and, had a look, but it's like, who am I going to ask how long it is?
It's hard to imagine Jenner's doing that.
Oh, yeah, it's just not going to happen.
But saying that, you know.
But this was like a set aside. This looked like it was made. This room, or this auditorium, as it were, was just for that.
Huh.
I mean, that's how obsessive they are.
That is pretty cool. I mean, obviously, you get things like that. In America, like QuakeCon, etc.
I don't think it's anything in terms of the popularity, though.
Oh, yeah. It's more the fact that, from what you're suggesting, is that it's permanently there.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to they rent out, like, a conference centre and fill it with PCs.
Oh, well, I'm not sure if we mentioned this last week in terms of StarCraft in Korea, but, I mean, it is literally considered a national sport. People
paid
not only to play it, but to teach it. There are, like... lectures in university you get paid to, and you see these guys, they are just machines on it. But that was the only glimpse I got of gaming out there, so not too much other than that. I mean, I got back and finished Lollipop Chainsaw finally, which I'm not sure if it's going to be everyone's cup of tea, but I just absolutely loved it.
People have been saying that it's Suda 50, like Suda 51. Mm-hmm. If people aren't aware, you know, he does these really kind of strange, very
stylized.
Yeah, very.
It's the equivalent of like genre movies.
Yes, yeah,
like genre video games. I suppose.
Very. You can't even say they're quintessentially Japanese. No, although they are very strange, but he obviously takes his lead from like Western gangster films and stuff.
Well, I mean, you take a look at Lollipop Chainsaw, it's so incredibly Western.
Yeah.
Like, it's based completely on, you know, American horror movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. It doesn't feel Japanese. The only thing that feels Japanese about it is the fact that it's quite so quirky, because you don't get those kind of games over here, especially box products.
You're
anyway.
Like, what, like decapitate zombies and rainbows come out?
And you've got like a boyfriend's head on the side, and it's so ridiculous. The thing is, like, some people could potentially get upset about it in terms of, like, on a sexism level.
But that's had its own big thing.
Well, I think, I don't know anyone could get upset about it, because it takes it to such an extreme that to get upset about it is absurd in itself. It's so OTT that to get upset about it would just be ridiculous.
Now, that would actually suggest a little bit why people got so upset about this Jessica Negri thing. You know, she's like a professional cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, basically, the Warner Brothers had her, like, banging the drum for this, like, game. They want to, it's the first time Suda51's made a game on this budget, I think. And he was used to games like Killer 7, you know, maybe not making quite as much money, but still having a big cult.
Yeah, because they had some, like, I can't remember his name, but they had some relatively big name writers involved and stuff, didn't they, from like the horror genre.
James Gunn, I think, is
that's the one, so they'd obviously put a bit of money into this. It's not, I mean, you can see when you're playing it, it's not super budget, you know, it's not like a triple A release by any stretch.
I don't think that's what they had to rely on, though.
I think it's like a mid-budget game, but for Suda, I think that's still relatively big.
I think maybe they didn't want to give them too much to play with, because I think a lot of fans maybe feel like it's not quite Suda enough.
Well, I don't know. It felt Suda to me, and as I say, Shadow of the Damned, that's the name of the other game, isn't it? And the thing is, I don't like kind of crass humor in video games. I think quite often it comes across as very childish, and there are a few video games which make me genuinely laugh, but, and even that, while not making me laugh, I found charming, because it's so OTT. Because, like, I always compare it, I suppose, to the Western equivalent being, is it not Bulletstorm? Is that the one Epic did? Or
People Can Fly.
People Can Fly.
You're the ones that are doing the new Gears of War, which is why it actually made me fun.
Yeah, well, yeah, hopefully. And the thing is, I liked the gameplay, but I didn't like the humour in that game. It just felt completely flat for me. The guy, like, it felt a little bit too close to, like, Duke Nukem, which feels just very much stuck in the 90s.
It was very much don't tase me, bro, kind of thing. It was,
That kind of stuff.
The same kind of stuff that upset me about games like Army of Two and...
Oh, yeah, that doesn't blow me at all. Some people
so
like
bad.
It, but I just...
For me, to be honest, it's very alienating, because it's, like, fair enough, you know, people say that we as gamers are desensitized, mm-hmm. and I have absolutely no argument against that, because I honestly think that I probably am.
Oh, yeah, I mean, especially modern-day video
games. Growing up on, like, action movies and...
Well, that's the thing, I didn't grow up with violent video games. I grew up with a NES, but I remember watching Die Hard when I was, like, 8, and it just totally... And then, obviously, that led to Aliens, Predator, big 80s films.
You see, though, that maybe speaks a little bit to what you would consider to be a violent video game. I mean, if you played Street Fighter, God knows, like, religious people at the time back then were probably saying, oh, it's violent.
Oh, well,
it's
everyone
teach
went,
our kids to go and...
Everyone went mental about, like, Mortal Kombat when it came out, and you look at the original now, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I mean, that is just...
That one got special kind of attention, because it was photorealistic.
Well, that was what they said. I mean, photorealistic.
Well, it was real people. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It is when you go back. But the thing is, it's the same with anything else. You go back to films which were given like an 18 rating back in the 80s. Like, you go back and watch like Friday the 13th Part 1 now, and it's bland as fuck. You know, it's like, that's never going to be scary to any kid nowadays, because, you know, people are desensitized. I mean, after playing modern day video games and like GTA, anything like that. And the thing is, kids are playing these games. I mean, again, we won't go into this argument now, but I don't think anyone pays attention to the age ratings. The parents don't seem to give a shit.
It's from someone who works in a game shop.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally feel bad about it, because the kid is obviously tricked his parent, or maybe his like grandmother, who doesn't really know quite what she's getting her kid.
Well, I think that too many of them, I think they're getting wising up a little bit now as gaming becomes more and more kind of prevalent in the public conscience.
Yeah.
But so many people for ages are just like, it's a video game. Why should it be an issue?
I've actually had like a mother around Christmas time come in and shout at me because she was outside having a smoke.
Yeah,
and her classy kid came up to buy, like, you know, an 18 rated game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said no.
And she came in and shouted.
She came in and shouted at me.
Yeah, it's classy.
That was quite a long time ago, but
yeah, yeah. Still, I was like smoking a fag, just necking a
I was busy.
Of cider or something.
This reminds me of that that Harry Enfield, you know, oh, I'm smoking a fag.
Oh yeah, I mean, you do get some. I mean, you work in CX and you do get some characters in there. There's no doubt about it.
Very colourful. Yes. Well,
yeah. I mean, been in there a few times, and some of the guys in there look nothing short of like crack addicts.
I mean,
Cracky Joe sitting in the corner, like handing over like mobile phones. Like, where the fuck did you get all those mobile phones?
I will decline to comment on the grounds that I want to keep my job.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We'll cut, you know, nip that in the bud.
I will just use the phrase colorful characters.
Colorful characters. I'm going to use crackheads. I don't fucking work there. Some of the guys in there look like crackheads. But yeah, I mean, what we're going to try and do with this podcast and podcasts going forward is start off with a feature. Although, we started off with a ramble, let's be honest, and we'll probably end up doing the same with everyone. But we're going to jump into a feature based on a blog I wrote recently, which caused a little bit of friction amongst the people who actually read it, based on The Greatest Generation Ever. My argument was, and you can read the article on Brash Games, that's www.brashgames.co.uk, and I put through an argument for the current generation being the best generation of all time. And even after quite a few debates, quite a few arguments, I'm willing to stick to my guns on this. I genuinely think the current generation, just by choice, by quality, by just, I don't know, the amount, you know, online gaming, everything, I just don't think gamers have ever had it better than they do right now. And I think, you know, this is just my opinion, and I'm, you know, I'm eager to be swayed, but I think I'm going to stick to my guns on this one. I mean, do you have an opinion on that? Have you got a favourite generation?
There's definitely credence to what you're saying.
The thing is, people, immediately, their argument seems to be that there's no innovation this generation, and that all it is sequels. And I just, it's not the case. I mean, don't get me wrong, there have been plenty of sequels.
Yeah.
But a lot of these sequels are to games which were created this gen, like Uncharted. I mean, there's been three games on the third one that started this generation. People are like, oh, Gears of War. People forget how amazing Gears of War was when it first came out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that blew me away when it first came out. I mean, the visuals, you know, it all seems quite derivative now, but when the generation started, this was new stuff.
I think a thing that we need to be very quick to mark is that this is specific to consoles.
Not
to PC gaming.
Yeah, I apologize to any PC gamers. I do not know jack shit about PC games. All I know is that not many games get released on PC nowadays. That's about it.
That sounds like some kind of a blanket statement. But.
Yeah, well, no, the thing is, it doesn't seem to have the same prevalence that it once did. Yeah, yeah. It feels like consoles. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, games like Far Cry, Crysis, all these games back in the day would have gone PC first.
Yes.
And they would have been like, can we fit them onto consoles years down the line?
To be fair,
everyone's thinking consoles.
That's
first.
Exactly what happened with Crysis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Far Cry, by all accounts, wasn't a very good port.
It wasn't the best. Even Doom, anything like that.
Because I really did not. I was quite excited about Far Cry because it was like an open world jungle environment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everyone had talked about it, and I was very disappointed.
Mm. And the thing is, back then as well, the gap between PC gaming and console gaming used to seem so big. But now it almost seems like PCs are almost being slowed down by
the console's
unwillingness to go on to the next gen.
I would say there's a lot of... Pardon me. I think PC gamers are very... I'm very keen to point things like that out.
Understandably. I mean, if I was a PC gamer, I'd be pissed. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, just get me to the next generation.
To be honest with you, like, and I'll probably ruffle a few feathers here, but PC gamers seem more militant than any console fanboy.
Well, the thing is, it's militant, but a lot of PC gamers at least make... While I don't agree with a lot of the arguments, at least they often seem a little bit, I don't know, better thought out. I mean, you go onto like gaming forums for like 360, PS3, and you do get just so many morons. The thing is, everyone goes immediately negative. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's no discussion. It's just, you're a twat for thinking that. It's like, no, that's my opinion. What the fuck, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's an interesting point. Another one, a feather in the cap of the modern console generation, mm-hmm. is the kind of online support. This is why I'm quick to separate it from the PC, because obviously PC for years has had that kind of modding community.
Yeah, yeah.
Most games, you know, will come out with an element of, mm-hmm. you can alter them.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
you also get things like patches and support.
Yeah, yeah.
This generation, I think it's kind of like a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of games are coming out, and the fact that you can get DLC obviously adds a lot of value, but then...
I'm not the biggest, but that's one of my least favorite things about this gen. But let's just say that, though. Just in case anyone gets upset, we're drawing a line there. We're definitely... This is console gaming. Yes, my argument is based 100% on console gaming, so... Yeah. Sorry, PC gamers, I know you're being dissed again. My bad. What can you do?
Yeah, I think like the fact that it's now seen as an urgent thing to support online.
Mm-hmm. Every game
has to have online. It was really driven home to me with this the new Skyrim expansion, Hearthfire.
Yeah, yeah. I take you a 360 on it.
Yes, yes.
Poor old PS. Yeah, just cannot get their shit in order, can they?
Well, this is where this kind of console war thing. Mm-hmm. I don't even like using that phrase, but it comes
in. I think
it's
fair enough, though.
But it's remarkable how people aren't able to empathize.
Oh yeah, there's none of that. People see the problem is, I think so many people, especially younger kids, they don't necessarily have the money, or their parents aren't going to fork out for all three consoles. So you get a lot of kids, they have one console or the next. So basically, they're defending their own decision. They're like, well, I bought a PS3, so I'm going to defend that decision to the end. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, the Xbox is good, because I went out and bought a PS3, so I'm kind of, you know, backing that team and backing, more importantly, my own decision to the death.
I can understand that. I mean, that's definitely would have been the excuse for kind of the SNES and Mega Drive, things like that.
I think it's the same nowadays, though, and the only thing is now everyone's got more of a voice because of the internet, you know, so it would have, as much, as big as console wars are now, I mean, I don't think it quite kind of compares to the 16-bit. I mean, imagine if you'd had the internet in the 16-bit era, like Nintendo fans versus Sega fans. It would be fucking pandemonium.
Well, the problem is, I think that the kids that were complaining back then, mm-hmm. have become the adults that are still complaining now. And
well, that was me back then. I like to think of myself as being relatively level-headed. You know, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I mean, if I had to pick a console this gen, mine's definitely a 360. That's the one I play the most. That's the one I play all the games for. But I own a PS3, I own a Wii, and they've all got their kind of pros and cons. A few more cons for the Wii, maybe. Just a few more. But, yeah. You know, generally speaking, you know, I prefer 360, but I can understand why some people prefer PS3. I can even understand why some people prefer the Wii.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing, though. The problem is online. It's not just gaming, it's everything. People are not interested in opinions. They're interested in their opinion, and that's it. And then everything else is wrong.
It's not a debate. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I put that article online, and I'm not sure the guy, I believe it was your friend.
Yeah, on Facebook.
And I'm not going to lie, immediately, it felt like I was being attacked. That was the issue with the whole conversation. I'm eager for debate. But instead, it felt like he was just picking holes. Like, every time I came back with something, he wasn't saying, oh, well, this is my opinion. He was just like, basically, it felt like everyone was like, you're a bit of a dick.
I don't know.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. But
I
just think a lot of debates just naturally now become quite, you know, it becomes more of an argument than
there's
a debate.
There's no give and take. It's definitely a case of, picking holes in someone else's while forwarding
that's
yours.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. Picking holes in mine rather than just a general
to
debate.
To be fair,
I think that's just kind of...
That was more of a debate than you're likely to get. In a
Yeah, totally.
Much more civil.
Yeah, yeah. And this is with grown-ups. I mean, with kids, you're not even getting the same thing. But, I mean, as I said, I'm happy to stick with my decision because I don't... While there have been quite a few sequels, I think people forget that this generation has probably delivered more releases per month than any generation previously. I mean, in terms of, and especially in terms of like the big AAA releases, I mean, they just seem to come thick and fast. I mean, Christmas, the past few years, and now January as well.
But then you have to counter that with the massive drought that we've had through the summer.
Oh, yeah, but that's always been the same, hasn't it? I mean, you always get the drought, but I think compared to even like the PS2 era, the N64 and PS1 era, I just don't think there are as many big releases. I mean, I seem to recall kind of there being droughts to the point when I was just like, okay, I've got nothing to play. Now, I've always got a backlog. Always. There's always games on my shelf I'm just trying to get through before the next big one comes out.
A lot of that is going to be influenced by the fact that you have three consoles. If you were strictly a Wii owner, and that is the continuation of being a Nintendo fan...
The Wii's a unique system, though.
Think how often they release a first-party Nintendo title.
Well, that's because Nintendo is about the only company living in the past. I mean, they're staying quite stubborn, whereas... the thing is, with the Xbox and PS3, I mean, with the exception of a very small handful of first-party exclusives, you're basically getting the same experience 95% of the time.
A lot of the time, yeah.
With the exception of your Halos, your Uncharted, and a few other games, because obviously these companies want to make money now, nearly everybody is releasing multi-platform.
For me personally, it's that gives the Xbox it makes it my favourite in this generation. That is only because...
That and the online.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Like, the PS3... Although it's got its free online,
it's not as good.
It generally does suffer for that. The network that they've got in place for downloading updates.
Oh, it takes fucking
And that's
years.
That's the other thing is the updates.
It takes so long.
Obviously,
it literally puts me off playing PlayStation games because I'll put in a game.
Metal Gear. Do you remember how long it took you to get to play Metal Gear 4?
So long. And the thing is, any game, because if there's an update on my 360, I put in update. Yeah. It seems to be generally done in under a minute. By putting a game for my PS3, I'm waiting a long time.
At least half an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, by the time it's finished, I'm like, I'm already playing someone else, and it's back on the shelf.
I am aware that a lot of that is due to the fact that, you know, when I was playing the PS3, it was a big space in between games. Like, Metal Gear, and then I think the next one I played was when I decided to pick up the Uncharted series.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heavy Rain. Oh my, Heavy Rain... Pardon me, while it installed, gave you an origami thing to fold, like a crane, while you're waiting on the game to start.
That's the thing. I remember, like, one of the arguments, you know, one of the fanboy arguments between PS3 owners and Xbox owners was that, some Xbox games have to be on multiple discs. Do you know how long it takes to change a disc? About 10 seconds. How long does it take to install a disc?
To be honest,
a game?
That is one that I am slightly on the... I think that's my OCD coming through again. I like it all in one little disc. And they look so much nicer. They're nice and shiny.
Yeah, it does look nicer, but in terms of like the amount of time... Like you say with Metal Gear as a prime example, how many times you suddenly find yourself sitting there waiting for it to install again?
And watching Snake smoke. That was one of my favourite bits. It's
bad for me though, man. I'm trying not to smoke.
Exactly.
Snake smoke. I'm like, he looks so fucking cool smoking.
It's like, you know, people are complaining because it's violent, you know, and it promotes like the arms trade, even though, you know, Kojima, if anything, is speaking against it.
Yeah.
But you've got like this guy and it's like, how many times have your parents told you smoking doesn't make you cool?
Oh, it does. it fucking does. You see Snake smoking, he looks fucking cool doing it.
This guy is like, he looks like a 90-year-old man.
He's
just smoking away, and it's like, seriously? You're marketing this to children?
Yeah. I mean, look, Snake's smoking, and he seems to know what he's doing, so I'm thinking about picking up a pack myself.
Because
I'm a sucker for that. If I'm watching a film, and you get someone on the screen, it's so fucking childish.
Is it like they look like cool on when it's like contagious?
Yeah, and I see them smoking on screen. And the thing is, in movies and stuff, especially, and in the case of obviously Metal Gear, which is arguably the most cinematic video game franchise of them all.
I don't think arguably is even.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is flat out.
Yeah.
They just look cool smoking. I'm just like, my God, that looks like a lot of fun. I need to go out and buy a pack of cigarettes right now. But smoking aside, and as I said, I mean, it's not just, as I said, the AAA games, which, you know, Mario Galaxy alone, because a lot of people attack the Wii. Mario Galaxy is in my top 5 games of all time. That's how good, in terms of pure gameplay, I think there are a few games that match that. And, you know, I think 2 Zelda games, I mean, that's just Nintendo, which I think got a lot of bad rap for a lot of shovelware, which it did have.
Yeah.
But the first party output was, I think, a little bit better than people gave it credit for. But that, you know, that's just one part of it. Beyond that, I mean, you know, like we said, Uncharted, Halo, Red Dead Redemption, which I fucking love that game. BioShock, Grand Theft Auto 4, which I still think is the best Grand Theft Auto.
You what?
I know. Wow. I know.
Wow. I can't believe that.
I really do. I like a lot of people. Obviously, San Andreas seems to be a lot of people's favorite. Oh, Vice.
I've never understood that, but maybe that was just because it was so big.
Yeah, yeah, maybe? Yeah. Maybe.
But for me, it's between 3 and Vice City.
Really?
Like, I remember I snuck Grand Theft Auto into my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so young, I didn't really get. I mean, I got that when you fired the little grey pellet that moved and then turned someone into like a red splat.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that you were killing them.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as games that were violent went, it was really nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then as I got older, I started reading, you know, when you get the text or the phone calls. Mm-hmm. It's like, I started reading them and I was like, oh, that's actually, it's pretty adult.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was already, I'm not sure how old I was, but I was already nearly an adult, basically, when it came out, Grand Theft Auto 3. And I remember there was a big deal in the shop because game used to have like a deal, basically, you could return a game within 7 days. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and they said I was the only person who returned Grand Theft Auto 3 because it was just like, I'd play it. And it was the same with all the Grand Theft Autos before 4, where I would start pissing around, you know, I'd get the wanted level up, and then I'd just get bored. Whereas Grand Theft Auto 4 was the first one where I got into the story, it felt like a coherent world.
I can't believe it.
I know, a lot of people can't, but it's just Grand Theft. But even then, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Hey, Kazim, shut up!
I wasn't even. The thing is, it still doesn't work for me. There's something in my head with Grand Theft Auto where, and especially, I guess, arguably with Grand Theft Auto 4, where, you know, it's trying to tell the story and then you're going out and just murdering everyone. You know, you would just be arrested and killed. Whereas, beyond the fact that I love Westerns, that whole setup works so much better in a Western because it's the Wild West and because it seems feasible in that time.
Yeah.
So, that's, I mean, while I say I prefer Grand Theft Auto 4, it's still not one of my favorite games. I mean, I've never been the biggest Grand Theft Auto fan.
You mean of the series?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, of the series. Red Dead Redemption, as far as I'm concerned, is in a whole. I just love every second of that game. And it's not just the West setting, it's like the quieter moments. Just everything about it was amazing.
Like, did you play many open world games? Like, have you played the Saints Row series?
I've tried a lot of them, but funny enough, I'm rarely the biggest fan of open world games. I like to have that kind of sense of progression, like to be pushed along. The problem, I think, with a lot of open world games, it just feels inevitably like, because I like to kind of start progressing in a game, go here, do that, go there, do that. And eventually I'm just like, oh, this is just becoming a bit tiresome, having to drive across the city to do the next mission. I know that's the point in that you can do stuff in between, but
I think
until somebody creates...
I think in that case, the onus is on the creator of the game to make it a world where you want to live in.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't got that, other than, as I said, in the Red Dead.
Because Skyrim is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that... Oblivion, I think, is actually the missions were a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my opinion, Skyrim, I still prefer it because it's so you want to be there.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's I had the same problem with that. I haven't played Skyrim yet, And the reason is because I tried Oblivion like 4 times. Like, yeah. I love the opening when you go through, when it is quite linear almost, and then you kind of open up, and it's obviously beautiful. It's everyone, yeah, one of the most memorable moments in video game for a lot of people, when you kind of go up and you see the world and you think, Jesus Christ, I can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I always kind of lost interest after a few hours.
That's understandable. I know some people that just cannot get into the Elder Scrolls, and I can totally understand it.
And I will give Skyrim a go at some point. But the thing is, while I'm not the biggest fan, I mean, I still think they're extremely important video games. And again, they're this generation. I think there's something which arguably wouldn't have been possible on previous generations. And the same with like Fallout. Again, not my cup of tea, but it's an important game.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, as I said,
Fallout 3, I honestly would put as a contender for game of this generation.
See, I tried again with Fallout 3, but I couldn't get into it. I like the world, I like the setting, but quite often it's, funny enough, the rough edges that come with an open world which cause a problem.
No, it's not open world even, that's Bethesda.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, I mean, Bethesda, and especially for PS3, and Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Funny enough, I did actually play Fallout 3 on the PS3. And, I mean, beyond the bugs, it's just the fact that, I don't know, like, the characters don't look that great to me. It's just something about it. But, I mean, that's a personal issue. But, as I said, beyond those, I mean, for this generation as well, it's the fact that you've been able to go back and at the touch of a button play so many classic games from the past. You know, on Nintendo, you can go back and play all the Super NES games, the N64 games. And on Xbox Live alone is an... I mean, I still can't get my head around the fact that this generation, I can pay £7 online and get Afterburner Climax. Afterburner Climax is an arcade game, a fantastic arcade game.
I don't strictly think that you should be allowed to put that as a positive for this generation.
Oh, why not?
Because that's not really this generation.
That's what I mean, though. It is because in previous generations, if you had your PS2 and you wanted to play a Mega Drive game, you had to pull out your Mega Drive, you know, plug it all in. Now, you can just download those games which you remember so fondly from a child. I know they're not the games of this gen. You know, the games from this gen, I think, are fantastic on their own. I think the Xbox Live Arcade and PSN games, a lot of them, are brilliant games. Stuff like Trials, Braid is an amazing game. Limbo is an amazing game. But
I haven't played Limbo.
But the fact that... One of my arguments is... Like, take... what was it? Oh my god, the Sega Saturn treasure game. Silver Gun thing?
Oh, right, yeah.
Radiant Silver Gun. Is that it?
Sounds about right.
Radiant...
I never had a Saturn.
Why is that like, it's one of my favourite games, and the name just dropped out. Anyway, stuff like that, Ikaruga. I mean, in the past, you used to have a Japanese Sega Saturn. You'd have to pay £100 for the game online. Now you can get a HD version online for like £7.
That's true.
The amount of choice... Sorry if you can hear noise in the background. My cat is going batshit crazy. Bryn, what the fuck? Come on, move along.
It's all that nip.
All that nip.
He's up all night.
Cat crack. But, yeah, the fact that you can go back and get all these classic games with the touch of a button, combined with the array of fantastic AAA titles I think are available this generation, and I will stand by a lot of them, and on top of that, you have all those fantastic, unique Xbox Live PSN titles, downloadable titles. I just think there's so much to choose from and so much quality. And even then, for innovation, people attack. I mean, people forget how awesome like the Wii was when it first came out. I mean, while not everybody agrees with motion control gaming, it is innovation. Like almost, stuff like Kinect.
Almost everyone tried Wii Sports.
Everyone loved Wii Sports.
I mean, it's sad that it was best things for that console.
It was the best thing for motion gaming. I don't think Wii Sports has actually been topped, is it?
Just having some friends round.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys, I'm just going to grab a beer.
A little bit of a drink, and you know, you could just play Wii Sports with your friends, and it was. I think it was like Rock Band was the only thing that kind of came afterwards that that took over as that kind of party game.
Yeah.
But I still think Wii Sports. I've got lots of like really happy memories of playing Wii Sports.
Back with beer, everything's well.
Especially coming from someone that really no interest in baseball or golf or tennis or bowling.
It just didn't matter at all, did it?
It was like they're just good fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was without question the thing that put gaming in the public consciousness more than anything else. There's no, like, whatever you say about the Wii, whatever you say about motion control gaming.
Oh, it's family friendly.
And it's not just family friendly, it's, I mean, it's people friendly. I remember I was living with a bunch of guys and girls when the Wii came out in a big flat, and like when we had the Xbox, PS2, all that stuff before, there was no interest. When I brought back the Wii and Wii Sports, everybody wanted to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
But as I said, that's my argument for it. I mean, as I said, would you go out on a limb and say you have a favourite?
To be honest, I have been playing devil's advocate a little bit, you know, in trying to do the other side of what you're saying. So. But I actually agree. I don't think gamers have ever had it as good as they've got it now. And people complain about the lack of difficulty in games now.
You can get difficult games.
I mean, you can.
Meat Boy, Dark Souls.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean that's obviously two games. You know, I think people want that return to.
I don't think difficulty in games that's important.
I don't either. Like I
think it's the experience more than.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of what basically made. Like, if you think about a game, like, say, Sonic, right? Mm-hmm. If you played Sonic, like, with one life, like, you managed to make it all the way from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
How long is that game? Maybe an hour?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I mean, they had to make them hard because the games weren't that long.
Exactly.
And they were still in that kind of arcade sensibility in that, you know,
It's Twitch reactions.
Yeah, totally. And I think people do underestimate how many difficult games there are out there. There are plenty of arcade games, and you know there are difficult games. Don't get me wrong, the big AAA releases are more handholding now, but I think that is naturally it's a natural progression of games becoming more story based, more experience based. Where the developers, I think, understandably want you to see the whole story.
They can step outside of that purely difficult, like, that's not where we need to from.
Yeah, I just think it's part of the evolution of, the industry.
People will sit and watch cutscenes now, as opposed to, oh, well, we better make this bit tough because, you know, it's only a couple of minutes long, mm-hmm. so we're going to need to get them to try it a couple of times.
Well, speaking of that, that was one of the arguments I heard against this, is that it's all cutscenes now. And I just don't think that's the case. I mean, other than a handful of games, there are moments when you're not in control. Metal Gear, yeah, obviously, without question. But how many games are actually use out-of-engine cutscenes? The majority of games now keep it in-engine, and you still have a certain amount of control. I think that's something the industry still has to work on, in which, you know, eventually they can kind of cut that out completely, and there'll be more, I guess you can call it, emergent gameplay, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, cutscenes have been... Oh god, I cut out quite a bit.
To be fair, like Half-Life was a real pioneer for that.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I can still remember the first time I ever played Half-Life.
And you see everything at a friend's house,
coming in on that on the tram on the railway coming into Black Mesa, mm-hmm. and the stuff that you see, it's just like
that was amazing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can move around, you can look,
mm-hmm.
but it's still very much a cutscene.
I mean, that's almost the industry standard now, isn't it? Is kind of tricking you into story.
Call of Duty does it to an extent. Like, I think because they definitely have a more Hollywood kind of
Call of Duty's own thing. I mean, Call of Duty's got a lot to answer for this generation, but
that's a bit harsh.
No. I'm going to go on record here and defend Call of Duty because a lot of people give a shit. Call of Duty is a great game. A great game, right?
Most of them. Yes.
The thing is, right? It's so well made. I'm not the biggest fan of it as a single player as a single player game because it feels too much like a shooting gallery to me. And even online, I'm not the biggest Call of Duty fan, but I'll defend it on the basis that it's obviously extremely well made. The production value is through the roof. And there is a reason half the people on the planet play it online. If it wasn't good, do you think people would be playing it like for years on end? And the thing is, it's not just... You look at the top of Xbox Live... I don't know what the board's called, but...
It must be just Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, and Battlefield 3 at the top.
Well, I think Halo's still pretty high, but I remember last time I looked, the top 10 online... I mean, obviously you had Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops was second, and then in the top 10 you still had Call of Duty, Modern Warfare... And I think World at War as well. Still in the top 10. Oh, my
God. See,
I mean, these aren't... They've got to be good games.
Yeah.
If they're sticking around for that long.
Like, the thing is, like, Halo's a really interesting one. And you said yourself you're a big fan.
Yeah, yeah.
What I firmly believe about Halo is that it is the power of Microsoft and advertising that made that game what it was to start with.
You really think so?
It was.
You don't think it was the fact that it was the best first-person shooter ever to hit consoles?
It's a really good game. Like, really solidly made, looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
The main character, I mean, he makes Gordon Freeman look charismatic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but he looks, I don't know, he looks kind of cool.
But
it's all the armour, isn't it?
I think what they did was they got the gameplay down,
mm-hmm.
and I think after that, it's a pretty standard shooter.
You really think so?
I really do. I like Halo, and mm-hmm. I don't... It's not at all a bad thing. It's not a bad shooter. But I think that it's a really good game because Microsoft told you it is.
I do not agree with that. And
that's why people got into it as much as they did.
I honestly think, compared to the majority, especially... I know a lot of people are big fans of it online, but as a single-player experience, I just think it's so far ahead of the majority of first-person shooters out there. It's like going back and playing a Call of Duty game after playing like Halo Reach.
No.
It just feels like... The thing is, those games are so scripted. You're on rails. It feels by the numbers, whereas Halo just allows things to happen.
I don't know about that.
Things happen... Like, you can miss it first time around. I think the gameplay is so much better. The AI is unbelievably good compared to the majority of shooters out there. I love the universe. I mean, again, this is going to turn into another big argument, but I mean, I am a massive fan of
it. See, I don't dislike it enough to argue with you. Mm-hmm. I've played all of the Halos so far.
Yeah, yeah.
And my favourite was ODST because...
See, that's... A lot of people... I mean, few people would say ODST.
Yeah, well, it's because it's not really a Halo game. It's just set in that universe, but...
You're less superhuman, I suppose.
Well, it's more the fact, like, you have to do things like sneak.
You have to
contend with issues like running out of ammo.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a human tank.
Yeah.
Plus, the fact is, there's actually a human interest story in there mm-hmm. because... I mean, you've got half the cast of Firefly and Caprica
Six. Anything with Nathan Fillion in it, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, he's my
closest thing to a man crush. I just fucking love Nathan Fillion.
I think everyone loves Nathan Fillion.
How can you not love Nathan Fillion? I'm not going to go.
My other half actually laughed at me because I got physically uncomfortable watching like Buffy the Vampire Slayer because he plays a bad guy in it.
I'm like,
I can't watch. This is Mal. He's a hero. Captain Tight Pants. You can't. Yeah.
No, I can't be having Nathan Fillion's bad guy. And I can't be having an Uncharted film without Nathan Fillion as Nathan Drake. It just seems bonkers. They're the same fucking guy. They are the same guy. Who are they going to have? Mark Wahlberg. Come on, man.
The problem is he's too old. Like,
he might be now, but he just seems the perfect fit. But I mean, as you said, I mean, well, at least we're both agreeing on this generation. I mean, and the thing is, I'm not belittling the quality of previous... I still have
really happy memories of playing, you know...
Oh, yeah. My favourite console of all time is still the Dreamcast. And, you know, I have fun... Like, I love the NES. I love the Mega Drive Super NES era. I'm just... My general argument is, in terms of choice... quality, the whole schmear, and as we said earlier, the online capabilities have changed gaming no end. People on about innovation, you only need to look online this generation to see how much is innovated, but I'm going to stick with my... And I'm glad you agree.
I mean, the PS1 is close behind it. That was when I really mm-hmm. discovered, like, as I spoke about last week, you know, that was when I properly realised I was a gamer.
Yeah.
Started playing 40-hour games mm-hmm. plus... Met my best friend at that period, so that's how we kind of we got playing Metal Gear together. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people's arguments are get caught up in stuff like nostalgia, stuff like, and that's why with my argument, when I was thinking about it, I really tried to take personal experience out of the equation. Obviously, I played all these games, but you know, not what I loved when I was a kid. I tried to look at it kind of each individual generation the differences, and it just seemed to be like the more I thought about it, and I tell you another big thing is the fact that you've had three of the big hitters, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, all enjoying degrees of success this generation.
Oh, yeah.
Which means, inevitably, you get more releases. Like, I love the PS1 Sega Saturn era, but the Sega Saturn not doing so well inevitably meant there were less releases. And the N64, while it had some of the best, some of my favorite games of all time, because it was on cartridge, it got fewer releases, didn't it? But
the weird thing to chart with Nintendo this generation is that they've obviously split themselves across their handheld market and their console market.
Yeah.
I don't think that they suffered for it with the Game Boy and the SNES.
Yeah.
But I honestly do wonder sometimes, you know, because
they spread themselves a little bit thin.
Because obviously, like, only they are going to do first-party stuff. Like, they are not going to let another studio deal with Nintendo games.
Oh, well, except for, what are they called? The guys who did Metroid and Donkey Kong.
That was Rare that did Donkey Kong for
On the Wii.
I don't know. Well, I don't know who. Like, I will go on record here. I really do not like Metroid. I've never understood.
You don't like Metroid?
I've never. It's just, whenever I see people talk, they're like, oh no, not the new ones, the old ones. I'm like, that just looks like a side-scroller. What?
Yeah, there's all the experience and the thing is, I was never the biggest fan of them when I was younger, but I could see why they're such popular games. To be honest,
I love sci-fi, and it makes me sad that I don't like them.
My favourite Metroid games, without question, are the Prime Trilogy. Those are just outrageously good games. But
that's GameCube, isn't it?
Yeah, GameCube, and then obviously on Wii you had the third part, and they released the trilogy all together. Echoes, and what was the second one? I can't really remember. But Retro Studio, that's it. Retro Studio. They're the one company Nintendo seems to really trust, because obviously they gave them Metroid and they knocked it out of the park with that. I mean, I said, as good as the Super NES releases were, as good as the side-scrolling, obviously you're not a fan, but as good, you know, positively as they are considered, I absolutely love the 3D Prime Trilogy. And again, I loved what they did with Donkey Kong Country Returns as well. I thought that was an amazing game. Like, I thought they nailed that balance between kind of old school and new school, kind of taking what you remember and kind of bringing it bang up to date. That was, and again, if you want a challenging game, play Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah.
It was fucking nails.
Yeah.
I mean, I finished it, but there are like a handful of additional challenges, which are just, like, you know, you have to be kind of pixel perfect. You know, we're talking kind of Ghouls and Ghosts solid year.
Yeah.
It was pretty nails. But they're about, as you say, generally speaking, they do tend to spread. You know, the thing is, with any Nintendo console, there's so much pressure on Nintendo to deliver the goods. And the thing is, it's going to be the same with the Wii U, I think, because while I think it'll be okay for, say, a year or so, inevitably, once the 720 or the Durango and the Orbis come out, developers are naturally going to move on. Third-party developers are going to take that next step up, and Nintendo are going to be stuck again with second-rate ports, you know, because of the reduced graphical capabilities.
Well, I don't think we're going to see as big a leap in graphics this generation. I think
maybe not, but it'll definitely leave Wii U in the dust.
I think games, well, the thing is, graphic capabilities has never been the priority of Nintendo.
No,
well,
but I'm just saying,
other studios are not going to want to make for it.
Yeah, it's going to affect their, unless the developers immediately get in, you know, involved and get to grips with the unique controller, the tablet style controller.
Well, the thing is, Nintendo, I think, like, they've been quite short-sighted in not acknowledging the iPhone as competition, because they're like, oh no, that's not phone games, that's not competition.
I think they almost have to be like that, though, because I think if they go down that route, they're inevitably just going to lose, because they can release them at such a low price, and Nintendo so closed off. You know, they'll never have anything like the iPhone where anybody can kind of deliver the goods. And
how exciting is the concept of a Nintendo phone, though?
Oh yeah, that would be
awesome. They've done watches, you know.
It'll never ever happen in a million years. But yeah, I mean, Nintendo, I think with the handheld thing, have got to stick to their guns. They've got to make the Nintendo a separate entity from phones, because everyone's going to have a phone. Yeah. They need to be like, this is something different which you need alongside your phone. Because it goes without saying, every kid in the world has like an iPhone or a you know, smartphone, whatever. So they need to kind of... And I think that's a problem. I don't know. I still can't quite figure out, other than the games
part,
are rubbish.
Part of me thinks that what they should do is they should just... Whoever is working on like a handheld title, just turn it into Nintendo Mobile and just have them working... Like, Nintendo could use their franchises and... Like, they were talking
that's
about...
That's the thing, I mean...
They were talking about Pokemon on the iPad.
How much money would Nintendo make if they put their games on iPhone?
Hand over fist.
Oh, the people... I mean, you could stick a half-assed Nintendo game on iPhone, and just the fact that it's got Mario in front of it, and imagine you sell it for like a pound or two, it just sell in the millions.
And they would... The thing is, they would expand their consumer base... Like,
exponentially.
Yeah, because...
Without question.
How many kind of people do you know that still refer to any video game console as a Nintendo?
Yeah, you know,
he's playing on that Nintendo through there, you know. You know, it would be an incredible boon for them.
I think, you know, Nintendo, I still think they want to kind of keep the doors closed to a large degree. That's but it. I think it depends on the Wii U goes. I think, you know, one day if maybe things aren't working out so well financially, then they've always got that to fall back on. Yeah. If they suddenly decide they're willing to open up their catalogue to other formats, specifically handheld, iOS, etc., then there's money in the bank to be made.
Keep making your home consoles, but then... Just...
Oh, yeah, without question. That's the thing with Nintendo. Whatever you say, you look at the Wii U, and I've got to be honest, I'm not super excited about it at the moment, but I know I'm going to get it because it's got Nintendo games, because you cannot get... Whatever you say about first party support,
no one else has the catalog.
No, Nintendo's always top drawer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I see a Mario Kart, if I see especially a new Mario game, and I'm not talking about new Super Mario Brothers.
That is the old Mario, but in HD.
I don't like that. It doesn't work as well as you would hope. It should have worked. I played that with Bethan. Because I thought, you know, multiplayer Mario, great for it. Because we played through Mario Galaxy 2, you know, we were obsessed with it. And it was best game ever to play with my girlfriend.
Galaxy 2 was, to the Wii, what Mario 64 was to the 64.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And the thing is, though, on paper, it sounds like such a great idea, new Super Mario Brothers Wii, because you see it and you're like, oh yeah, you always wanted to play together. But then you start playing it, and it's not like in the advert. In the advert, everyone's smiling. Everyone's having fun. Oh, we're all playing together. Me and Bethan, we rarely argue. I wanted to fucking kill her. We were at each other's throats playing that game. Because every time I'm jumping along, and then she's stuck at the back of the screen, or, you know, she makes a jump, and I jump on her head, and she dies. It's not we're sitting there laughing and smiling about it. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Don't worry. Me and Carla had a similar issue with Lego Batman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So don't worry too much about that.
I don't know what it was about Mario. We played co-op games in the past, but that just brought... It was the complete opposite of what you saw in the adverts. It was just us two glaring at each other, just not talking. It was horrible.
I really liked playing games with Kara, but there was so many other things. I was like, you know what, we'll try something else. I really wanted to play...
Like sex?
Well...
It's yes. Like, we can play video games, but how about, like, I would love to say that works. I'm 10 years into my relationship. If we're playing video games, like, do you want to try sex instead? No.
Arguably the ultimate rhythm game.
The ultimate rhythm game. Well, not with me, sadly. Not that often, but...
But yeah, like, The Walking Dead, like, because she loves zombies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she stole my Walking Dead comic books, took them into her work because she was working as in a tattoo studio at the time. And has now got some of the kind of the zombies from the front cover tattooed around her wrist.
Cool.
Like she
she really is a fan.
She really loves zombies.
Yeah, if you've got the tattoos on your wrist, then yeah. Fun.
And,
sorry, phone's ringing.
If you swipe up.
Yeah, a new phone, I don't know what that I'm doing. Yeah, you probably heard that. He's not going to be too happy. Yeah, that's my phone as well. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just going to turn it off. We're just going to put an end to that right now.
Oh, dear.
I'm not even sure if, like... How the fuck did you turn this off?
What are you doing?
Okay, wait, here we go. It's definitely going off now.
There you go.
Power off. Yeah, we're not going to get... It's only the cats which are going to cause problems now.
But yeah, the Walking Dead game, because, I mean...
But that's not like classically co-op, that's what I mean, you have the...
Oh, not for co-op, I would just want to watch her play it. Because
yeah, that's what I mean, you do have those games this generation where you can just kind of sit there, I guess you've had previous generations, but we seem to have that same thing as well, where rather than playing together, we're more likely to have one where it's a game she's happy to watch me play, or vice versa.
Well, me and Kara met because of Batman. Like, she has a very prominent Harley Quinn tattoo on her arm.
God bless Batman.
Yeah,
Bringing people together.
Bringing people together, yeah. So,
the Dark Knight, just getting it in.
So, when I got Arkham City, she was really keen to watch.
Let's
that.
Add that to list. That's a fucking amazing game.
Well, yeah, the Arkham series is really
they are
good.
Amazing.
But, I just thought the Walking Dead, because it's got zombies and it's so
Everyone
well written.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's incredibly well written. I just finished episode 3 this week as well.
I haven't played episode 3 yet, but.
Oh, my God.
The thing is, it almost sounds like a gaming phenomenon, hasn't it?
Well, people talk about Telltale as being kind of, you know, they just take franchises and make a so-so game out of it and move on.
Whereas, I actually like the Back to the
Future. With The Walking Dead, I think because Charlie Adler and Robert Kirkman have actually written them, they're just so good.
And they look great as well.
Yeah, I love that kind of cel-shaded comic book style.
Yeah, yeah, it suits down to a T, and you feel like they can get... I know, man, because I almost found it felt more affecting, because it looks like a comic book, it looks almost cartoony, and then you have... It's not these moments of violence, they're not cartoony in any way. And the way, you know, what happens to certain characters, it's not funny stuff, it's not cartoony, it's very adult material, but just has this cool cel-shaded style, and I think that juxtaposition works really well for that game.
They have no issues with killing off characters.
No, they really don't, do they?
It's what makes
motherfuckers just getting killed left, right, and centre.
It's what actually makes me so attached to some of the characters.
Yeah, yeah, because you just think they could actually die.
If anything happened to Clementine, I would be devastated. Like... They've obviously gone to massive lengths to make that the cutest little girl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a massive
She's
thing.
She's so adorable.
You know, it's so rare in games when you actually care about the additional characters.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you say, in this is a series now which is making people care. And the fact that they're willing to kill off characters and you just think nobody's safe, it has so much more effect. But yeah, I mean, we're like an hour in. We were going... to talk about movies. I mean, we did say on the first episode, I think, that we were going to talk about geek culture in general.
Yeah.
But we seem to keep getting carried away. All right, I'm going to make a promise now. Next week, we are going to talk about the summer movies that have gone, the summer movies which we're looking forward to next year, the general, you know, the fact that Marvel are just obviously going to go insane, so we've got all those to look forward to.
I think they're getting Daredevil back. That'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. They have got it back from... well, no, it's not confirmed yet, but they're not going to make a film by October.
Yeah.
They're not going to start shooting. So they're going to win Daredevil back. So when
part
you show
of me
up
what,
in Avengers
part of me wanted to see that. Part of me wanted to see what that movie would look like.
What, the Fox version? Or?
No, yeah, the Daredevil made in 3 months.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With Ben Affleck back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Ben Affleck back. I'm not going to watch a Daredevil film unless let's go Ben Affleck.
Oh, speaking of Daredevil, I'm really sad to hear that Michael Clarke Duncan died.
I know, that sucked, man. I didn't even think he was I was surprised that he was 54. I just thought he was... I just imagine being in his 40s for some odd reason.
He's obviously a really big guy, but he was like football player, like American football player big.
Yeah, yeah. He was a vegetarian as well, which seems...
it was
only
for
the last couple
years. Yeah.
But still, you would think...
He said that apparently he cleaned out $5,000 worth of meat from his fridge.
It's just outrageous. I mean, that guy was like a man mountain, wasn't he? But it is sad news, and... Obviously, he was, you know, he played parts in video games as well as movies.
Yeah, and, like, you've got things like Sin City as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of, you know, especially stuff, I guess, kind of, you know, geek culture stuff, I suppose, he played a big part. And, you know, I don't think anybody ever had, you know, when did anybody ever badmouth Mark?
John Coffey, yeah.
John Coffey, you know, any of his roles, nobody was like, yeah, you know, he was shit in that film. So, yeah, I mean, that was sad to hear, but... As I said, we will get on to movies next week, I promise you. It's going to happen. And, I was going to have, like, another feature, but the features just seem to be taking up the whole fucking episode. Because we're an hour in, and we're going to try and keep it an hour. So, tune in next week. A bit of movie chat. Definitely, obviously, more gaming chat. But As always, thank you for listening, and hope you all tune in next week.
Yeah,
catch you later.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter.
I forgot it again. I forgot. I'm useless. I'm the worst advertiser in the world. Yeah, it's at Brashcast. Is that right?
Yeah,
I'm useless to Twitter. So yeah. At Brashcast.
It was you that set it up as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shit at Twitter. I got banned after like once. I still don't have it. But yeah, go to the website. Check us out at www.brashcast.co.uk. Check out the Twitter. We will get a Facebook page hooked up eventually, and you know, once this is all up online, we're going to really start hitting Twitter pretty hard. I mean, maybe not me, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but Ross definitely will.
Yeah, I am at Rogster.
He's at Rogster.
Sorry, at Mr. Rogster.
I'm actually back on it. I'm at Liam something or another. I'll find out what it is, and I'll let you guys know next week. But the main thing to go to is at Brashcast. We'll get on there. We'll, you know, start airing our opinions, and you know, we might even talk about something beyond just the core feature. But yeah, thanks again for listening, and catch you all next week.
Bye.